Today, we're fully dressed but eating an obscene amount of naked chicken chalupas. We read our best 3-star review ever, and then we ask, what makes Night in the Woods so relatable? All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome to episode 26 of Trust Circle. I am your host, Devin Valdivia. I am joined by my wife, who is now officially, legally, via the government, via Social Security, Valerie Valdivia.
It's true.
Hold your applause, people.
Contain your excitement.
My secret's out. I only married Devin so I could be legal tender Val-Val.
And joining us, as always, top shelf gaming editor-in-chief, founder, co-founder, crazy person, stutterer, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
How's it going?
Pretty good, because we just had the best dinner
ever. We had a really, really, really good dinner.
So, it's Fat Tuesday at the time of recording. And it's also the end of the...
Best month of my life.
The best month of our lives. The Naked Chicken Chalupa. So, the last day to get one will be Wednesday, the day that this goes out. But to give it a proper send-off, I got us all Taco Bell for dinner.
We live moss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't have one. We had two Naked Chicken Chalupas each.
Naked.
I got Valerie a loaded potato burrito.
He just snuck in the back
for our
in their storeroom and just grabbed a whole raw potato.
Yeah, it's like, did you guys have a potato?
I've just been gnawing on it.
Yeah. She's been doing some nibs on the potato. Mm-hmm.
It was delicious. You guys, video games are back.
Mm.
They were gone for a while, and now they're all here.
And they all came at the same time.
They all showed up.
And I'm pissed about that. Because who has the time to play one of these games, let alone all of them?
I'll tell you who. Kids who are homeschooled.
Mm. The one good thing about being homeschooled.
Well, that and pajamas.
Oh, and like, if you have a good relationship with your parents, then that's pretty dope too.
And if all your friends are homeschooled too.
Dang, I missed out.
It's true. Well, if certain things go certain people's ways, we might all just be private schooled. So no more homeschool, no more public school. Just go to private school. But that means we have a lot of games to talk about.
Yeah.
So let's get this stuff right out of the way. Valerie, you didn't play games this weekend. What did you do?
What did I do? I watched all of the Mabam Bam Tea Show.
Mabam Bam Tea Time.
I forgot a letter, and that letter is V. The TV show.
Because all of your V's went into Val-Val.
I now have 200% more V's in my name than I did previously.
You're just overwhelmed just by overwhelmed. The amount of... Well,
I'm overwhelmed by the amount of V's in
my name. You have three V's now.
Now, because I went from one... Oh my gosh. All my words are V's now. I went from one V to Valdivia. So now I have three V's.
Three V's.
So
just like me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not Debin. Or Defin.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
What's Mabimbim? Mabimbim?
Mabimbam is the shorthand for the podcast My Brother, and Me, which is now the TV show My Brother, and Me, because they got hired by CISO to make 6 episodes. And I had not really heard of CISO until like very recently, but apparently it's
pretty new.
Yeah, it's NBC's streaming service.
Your old roommate was fairly involved in the production and advertisement and distribution of a CISO show.
Mm-hmm. Take My Wife with Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher.
I saw her at, what's it called? OCB? No, UCB. Upright Citizens Brigade. And she was that night's host, whatever. She's really funny. She's really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some audience members were heckling her.
Uh-huh.
And, man, she just flipped it
she
so quick.
It down.
It was so good. She's so talented.
So the show will probably be most appreciated by fans of the podcast, because so much of their weekly podcast is based around, like, recurrent humor and in-jokes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which is not to say that it's, like, unfriendly? Unaccessible, if you're, like, not familiar, because, like, their tone is such that, like, it feels like they're laughing with you. It's not like they're like, oh, look, we're so funny. It's like, let's all laugh together at this imaginary scenario we've created via jokes. So, the TV show, we thought, did a pretty good job of turning a podcast into that.
Alchemy-like into wisdom.
Alchemy-like into TV show. Because, like, we've seen book into TV show.
Yeah.
We've seen book into movie. We've seen TV show into movie. We've seen movie into TV show. But I've never seen podcast into TV show.
That's... And going into it, I thought it like, wasn't going to work.
Right.
I'm like, what is this... Like, I thought it was either going to be sketch comedy.
Yeah, or, I thought so too, like, at first. It was going to be dumb. But they just let them be them, which was good, because I was like, I don't want to watch, like, you know, bad SNL. Like, I don't want that. But, no, it was almost like... It was, like, documentary, because it was actually them. But it was also, like, mockumentary, because it wasn't totally real.
Yeah.
Plus, just, like...
Just so many goofs.
So many
the parades.
But, yeah, we thought it was pretty good.
The clear sign that it was going to be legit was the fact that the show starts the exact same way as the podcast.
The exact same theme song.
The same theme song, the same, you know, audio intro.
Yeah.
And like it just sets that tone right there. Like, we know what this is. You know what this is. Let's get into it. Mm-hmm. And they just go.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. Anything else you want to mention before we do something a little bit different than we've done the last few weeks and talk about some video games?
We did a lot of stuff.
What did we do?
You did stuff.
What did I do?
We all went to dinner.
Oh, yeah. We hung out with some pals.
Val pals.
Some pals.
Val's pals.
Guys, this week went really fast. I don't remember much of this week.
Yeah.
I feel like about this month. Also, it's the last day of February.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, to save you some time and some hassle, let's get to your word of the week.
What's that phrase? What's it mean? It's time for the word of the week. Song.
Song?
No, that was where the song plays.
No, it already played.
What?
Through the magic of podcasting.
Yeah, no, you're good. It's there.
Okay, it's there. My word of the week is Rancho.
Rancho.
Good pick.
Rancho.
If you want to know why it's a good pick, why don't you check out the free episode of Mabim Bam on YouTube right now.
And Mabim Bam is spelled M-B-M-B-A-M.
That's true. And you can also get a free month of CISO, so just watch them all. It takes not that long, and you'll enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm. Also, apparently, if you're a PS Plus subscriber, you can get 3 months of Showtime.
If I read the thing right, that's what it looked like. Between now and the end of March, if you have PS Plus, you can get 3 free months of Showtime.
So, oh, I'm so in there.
That's a thing. You have to use PS View to do it.
That's
fine. But it's just the app you do, and it's fine.
Yeah.
So, Marcus, how has last week been for you?
Oh, boy. It's been good, because I had a free weekend, and like that hasn't happened
ever.
Besides the previous week, and in like...
Probably not since you were like 13 years old.
Yeah. Probably not since Nom, right? And so I did a lot of stuff Friday. I just played Night in the Woods. Saturday, I actually put on pants. I was social. I didn't really leave the house. My family came over. I cooked dinner for them. I made turkey, sweet potato, chili.
Nice.
And I served them in cute little bread bowls.
Did you like buy loaves yourself and then like tear out the interiors?
Yep. And it was cool because I didn't, like, I went to the store and I didn't know that they just like made bread loaves specifically for bread bowls. But I found some.
Yeah.
I was like, thank you.
Yeah,
this is great.
You can't have no King's Hawaiian bread for a bread bowl. You need some hearty sourdough.
And so that was great. It actually turned out really, really well. And like, I was surprised with like how much I liked it, because chili is not really my thing, But I've been trying a lot of recipes lately. Mm-hmm. And,
nice.
Like, I was surprised. Because I've been cooking a lot of things that I thought I would love. And totally have not loved it. So, this has been... I mean, so that was nice. And it was nice seeing my family. It was nice... That was the first time that my mom and my sister got to see where I'm living now. Mm-hmm. My sister is getting so big, and it's, I don't know, it's cool thinking about our relationship, that it's still strong, that it's like, I don't know, like, I think of, so my birthday is next month, and... thinking of, like, how much we've been through together and just... Mm-hmm. And for, like, the first couple years, like... Or I guess, like, when she was from 0 to, like, 3, we, like, fought a lot. Like, a lot.
Fought a lot with that baby.
Yeah, like... Like, she was this, like, little girl, and she was innocent, but she could piss me off like no one else could. Uh-huh. And then there was, like, lots of... like, good moments, but then we, like, got to this place where, like, we haven't been mad at each other for, like, the last 10 years, you know? And so that's been really, really cool. And it was great seeing my family and all of that stuff. And then other stuff on Sundays, including dinner with you folks.
Folks.
Folklore.
My
he's thinking
week
of D&D.
There you go. My week was spent much of which thinking of D&D and training our cat, which is joining us in the room. Last week we put her in the back, I think, but now she's just here being a cool cat.
She's just kind of sleeping.
She's just chilling.
Things our cat does: sleep and eat, and
yell for food,
and chill
and yell. But she can't yell loud, so she just kind of screeches, but quietly. It's like a really intense whisper.
She's like a tiny witch.
Just a tiny little angry.
It's like her.
That was. It's weird how well you can do that. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. We took her to the vet to get her checked out,
and she's very dramatic.
She didn't like being the cat carrier. Valerie cried.
Broke my heart.
What? You cried?
She was like, she was being so pitiful when I had to put her in the cat carrier. And it felt so bad.
Oh my gosh.
But the good news is... this what parenting is like?
Yeah. Oh gosh, you just put your kid in a cage and cry.
Basically what my mother did to me.
The good news is she is perfectly healthy, except for the fact that she is about 30% heavier than she should be.
So she's on a diet.
She's on a diet.
She's on a high protein, low carb diet.
She is 13 and a half pounds. We're getting her down to 10 pounds within 6 months. Was that the goal?
Per Dr. Rami's instructions.
Yeah. So she's been doing pretty good.
He's out of politics and into the medical field now, huh? Mm-hmm. Mr. Romney.
Oi. And what else happened this week? I played the Ghost Recon Wildlands beta.
As did I.
Which I want to talk about a little bit because it's coming out soon and it was a time-limited thing, so if you didn't play it, you missed out. I am conflicted on this
game. No, you didn't.
See there. Okay, so really quickly, give me your... Say something good and say something bad.
Killing people felt good. Like it felt like Call of Duty-ish, where people just kind of just, like, go down in the way that real bullets would take people down. Just, like, not, like, spongy, but, like, a couple shots to the chest would realistically take someone out. And a lot of games, it's like you have to shoot them, like, 30 times, and then you might, you know, stagger them. So I think it felt good. I like the premise of it. Other than that, it's just overwhelming for me. Like, it's so open-ended that like I there's all these things that you can do, but I don't want to make the effort to, like, go find them and, like, do stuff. I don't know. It's what I was telling you is, like, it would be a fun game to watch, like like to watch four friends play and like have a good time, or like four really serious players play and like do really serious things. But I'm not gonna invest that time to like make those cool things happen. So I think it's a lot better game to watch than it is to play.
Yeah, I kind of ended up with having the same takeaway as you. I went into this game really hopeful. Mm-hmm. And I didn't not enjoy my time with it. The problem was I only played solo. Me and you had planned to play together to test out co-op, and then just that didn't happen. But the thing for me is I think it would be more fun with a full group of people that I knew, mm-hmm. but that's not how I play games. So it's already, you know, one against me there. And two, don't die, Marcus, I love you. Marcus just had to run away. He forgot how to drink. But the other thing is, it's just, it doesn't feel super smooth and snappy the way that I want a tight, tactically focused game like that to be. And the problem is that Metal Gear Solid 5 exists. And Metal Gear Solid 5 was a third-person, tactical, you know, sneaky espionage game.
Yeah.
And the controls were super snappy, super, super precise, and felt really, really good.
Yeah.
And this game is kind of none of those things. It doesn't feel terrible. And it feels a lot like The Division, actually. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit slower than you want it to be. It takes things a split second longer to do. Like, when you want to crouch, it takes just a little bit too long to crouch. And I think part of that is to almost intentionally slow the game down.
Yeah.
To make it feel more tactical. Because like you said, it doesn't take a lot to take down enemies, or for you to be taken down either. Mm-hmm. If you get surrounded and you're stuck in a spot, you're done. You don't last very long. And so I feel like part of the movement is slow and sluggish to promote tactical play, and not just you running in and reflexing everyone to death.
Yeah.
The problem is, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's still a few weeks away. It comes out sometime in March. I think 20-something. No, the 8th? I don't know. Sometime soon. I was excited for it. It's a game I would be happy to pick up on a 50% or more discount, which, you know, for a game that's not even out yet is maybe not the best thing to come away with it. But,
yeah.
But like you said, I want to see videos of people doing either really stupid stuff or really, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not going to be a game for me, and that sort of bums me out. But what is a game for me and what is a game for you for the next few days? It's Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, but before we get to that, I wanna reiterate that typically this is a show that's tries to cater to both gamer and non-gamer audiences. If you haven't noticed by now, this episode
a little different,
a little more focused on games, but that's just because we haven't had really that many games to play or to talk about.
We've been in a drought.
So, yeah, but. California's
out
of it, and so are we.
So is
the reigns of Lucifer.
However,
the reigns of Lucifer.
Literally, that was storm was, the big storm that came two weeks ago. Literally, was named Lucifer.
Oh,
yeah. So that's fun. But if you're dying of game overload, like Valerie is here, hang around. Our main topic, I think, is going to pull you right back in.
Yeah.
So just stick it out, or fast forward through all of our game stuff.
Fast forward 10 minutes, right?
But now we gotta back up to talk about the stuff we need to talk about. So
now I have to live through twice!
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh my god.
Came out for us last night.
Yeah, it did.
Give me some very... We'll have a whole thing about this, I'm sure. We'll have to fit it in between all of your Switch rantings. But real quick, with your first few hours of the game, how are you feeling about it?
Hot takes.
Give me some hot takes.
It's dope. It's dope. I was really excited for it, and then all the reviews came out, and all of the reviews were awesome, and I was even twice as excited. But then the reviews for Zelda started coming out, and all those were saying Zelda is even better than like Horizon was, and like Horizon was like fantastic. And so, not because Horizon wasn't good, I just hearing all that about Zelda just like made me lose interest in Horizon. But I already had it pre-ordered, so it was on my PS4, and I like booted it up and I was like, wait, this game's dope. Like, it's not Zelda, and I don't know how good Zelda is yet, but like, this game is amazing. I'm only like 3 hours in. I was almost late for work today. I usually, so I wake up at like 4:30, and I try to be productive, and usually I am. I leave for work typically like the latest I can leave for work and get there by 9 is 8:30, and I have a very like intricate route of like weaving through cars and knowing what lane to be in when in order to like maximize time. So today I got out of bed to shower at 8:22.
Oh, Atlanta.
And Horizon was major reason why. This game's great. It's beautiful. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Valerie, you watched me play a little bit of it. Just you being you. Okay. What are your first?
Kids just your being
first,
kids.
Your first hot take. Give me some hot takes of your own.
Okay, so imagine Ygritte from Game of Thrones.
Oh, don't worry. I would love to.
Oh, my God.
Is she naked in that?
Who isn't naked in Game of Thrones at one point?
I don't know. I don't watch it. I just know that there's naked people.
Even the dragons are naked.
Even the dragons. And they are not ashamed.
So she runs around in a world that is so futuristic that it's flipped back around to be kind of prehistoric again because of presumably something apocalyptic. Now there's no technology except for sometimes technology because the dinosaurs are technology. They're big robots and they walk around. And they're animals, but they're also robots.
There's robot animals and then there's
animals. Which is very confusing. Maybe there's animal robots.
Which is strangely similar to Night in the Woods, where all the characters are anthropomorphic animals, but they also have animal pets.
Yeah. So, literally, sidebar. Literally, protagonist May, Cat May, who wears clothes and sneakers and runs around and talks, is standing next to a cat that's sleeping on a doorstep, a doorstop, yep. or stoop, on stoop. A stoop.
Stop on that stoop.
Stoop cat's gonna leave the stoop.
Yes.
We've got like a goofy Pluto situation happening,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. But, like, they don't acknowledge it at all.
Which is pretty funny.
Which is great.
Weird. Yeah.
But, yeah, Horizon
Zero Dawn. We all said different verbs.
We did.
Funny, weird, great.
Freight.
Freight.
Horizon Zero Dawn is fine, I guess. It's pretty. It's kind of hyper-realistic in that kind of Uncanny Valley way a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
It's like a little bit.
It's only for their faces, really.
It's a little bit.
Like, everything else looks great, but then their faces... There's not enough bones to animate their expressions.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes the faces do look super great.
Yeah.
Sometimes they look amazing. A lot of the time, they look good. Sometimes they look scary.
Yep.
Faces are hard. Which I liked story-wise. This is not really a spoiler, but whatever. You start as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
that's in the
trailer. Yeah, it's in the trailer. So you start as a kid, and then you get bigger pretty quickly. Story-wise, great. But we still don't know how to make good, like, computer graphics kids. They're still creepy looking.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just not the best visual first impression.
But she was pretty cute, though. She was adorable.
For a video game kid, she was one of the better video game kids.
Yeah.
And she was well acted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, you guys, very colorful. There are robot dinosaurs. The story seems super interesting so far. And... as opposed to Ghost Recon Wildlands, it controls really, really well.
It controls so... I think the gameplay is the best part of that game. I mean, everything that you just listed, visuals, story, I think music's really cool too. Like, all those things are phenomenal, but like, if those things were all like B tier, C tier, it would still be a fantastic game because the actual gameplay is just so
good. That's what that's what Metal Gear Solid 5 really was. Mm-hmm. The visuals, fine, but not great.
Yeah.
The story was good if you're into that stuff, but otherwise terrible. But gameplay-wise, it was incredible. Yeah. And that gameplay carried that entire game.
Yeah.
So it's cool. You know, we've just played a few hours. We'll talk about that more.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else I did this week? What else did I do? Cat stuff, video game stuff,
cat
D&D stuff.
Stuff.
I'm continuing to play, or play and plan, play in my head.
He's managing to play D&D by himself.
We've decided.
He found a way.
I'm just now playing D&D by myself by planning this campaign I'm going to run for us.
Nerd.
Yeah, deal with it.
D&D with it.
Okay, with that, we got to take a break. We got to go. That might just be the end.
Wait, no. What about, I do want to bring up one thing.
Oh no, I'm scared now.
Aloy's age.
Oh,
how old is she?
Old enough to know better. I don't know.
Old enough to drive?
Old enough.
To drive a dinosaur.
To drive a robot dinosaur?
Old enough to take part in the proving. I don't know what that means.
here's the thing. So I thought I had a pretty good lock on like what her age was. Mm-hmm. From kid, because visually she looks like probably your age.
When you're a kid, you're 6 years old. Like they make that part clear.
Yeah,
there's a 6 years later, like line of dialogue, mm-hmm. line
so
of visual dialogue. What is that called?
Text.
Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we know she starts off at six, and then
you roll through the sky, and time passes.
Yeah. You have your Hakuna Matata moment. Where you go from little Simba to adult Simba in one seamless transition. And then, actually, I think that happens in Tarzan, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tarzan's probably more relevant. But then...
I don't know, dude. The first scene is Dad brushing paint on her face, holding her up and yelling her name.
That's super Lion King.
Like,
you're right.
Shot for yes. shot Lion King.
Yeah. I think just like based off of her face and like how it's aged, I would guess she's like 24, 25. But then you see her like father figure.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look like he's aged very much.
He's got some gray
much.
Hair.
He's got some gray
but
hair.
But he doesn't look like...
But he mostly looks...
Old. He's not walking up talking like, hey, Lori.
Yeah. And
Romana.
But, all right. So then,
that's revenge for last week.
There's these kids when like she's still young, who are teasing her. But then, when it fast forwards and she reunites with them, minor spoilers. It's
the game happens.
Yeah. So when she meets up with them as an adult, she looks like she is still like 24, 25. And these same kids look like they're like 16, so I have no idea like what age
yeah,
she is.
It's a little ambiguous.
Yeah.
And the final thing I'll mention, I mentioned it to you, Valerie, earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley Birch is the voice actor for Aloy, who is the voice actor for Chloe from Life is Strange, and she's also she's been a few things. The thing is, like, she's doing fine, but I can only imagine her as being Chloe from Life is Strange. So every time she opens her mouth, I want her to say something nasty about her stepdad.
Yeah.
And just, like, you know, be, like, a moody teen. And I just can't. Like, I just see her. Because she has a pretty distinct voice.
Yeah.
And there are a couple characters who it's like those extra,
mm-hmm.
like, actors you see. Like, it's like, oh, it's that voice. It's like, oh, you were in Skyrim. You were in that, like, the kid that throws, that you don't like in the beginning.
Yeah.
He, like, his older version, like, he has, like, oh, you're that voice actor.
Ew.
Like, I'm pretty sure he was a voice in Skyrim, but he's just like this, like...
Yeah.
Just, he's just like that.
Kind of like a generic white guy.
I'm gonna voice. Give you a side quest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there are a few actors where I'm like, I know I've heard your voice. But, I mean, the acting is... There's a spectrum to it, but overall I'm liking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll have lots more to talk about as we actually play the game. Whew. Let's go have some more time to plan some D&D campaigns. We'll take a prick break.
A prick break.
A prick
break. Hey, you can take that if you want.
All right. The rest of you can take a quick break, and we will be back with more.
Oh, da loca.
Yo, my. Welcome back from our break that we took. You did not. You heard some sweet music. Maybe take a break. Maybe pause it. I don't know what you did, but we're back. And now, Marcus, it's time for our... Every time I want to talk topic of the show, but then I feel like I'm stealing it. See, and now we're gonna get sued by everybody.
No one's gonna sue us. No one listens to us, Devin.
I listen to us.
Yeah, okay. That's a joke. We definitely have listeners, but like...
And we appreciate every one of you. Gary.
Matt.
Oh, sorry, Gary.
Yeah.
Gary with two
double
R's.
Double R.
All right, well, we are talking about another game, and that game is Night in the Woods. If you don't like video games, turn your volume up and lean in a little bit. This thing is super cool. Marcus, start us off.
So, this has to begin one way and one way only, with a confession, and perhaps an apology. So, I've been trying to write a review of this game. I played it all weekend, just like furiously trying to beat it. Okay, I'm gonna rephrase that. I've been trying to complete this game, and I did, and
I just got it.
Don't.
I just got it. Okay.
Do you have to flag this now?
No. We're not going to do that. So, I've tried the last couple mornings to finish my review, and I've gotten pretty far, but I just had so much to say.
Is the end just on the horizon?
Might be. And
maybe you should switch up your tactics.
Okay, please stop. I've had so much to say.
Go take a break. You know, just get a good breath.
Maybe look for the missing link.
Oh my gosh. People. So I've been trying to write this review. I have so much to say because this game just makes me think. So it's... So what I wanted to talk about is like what makes Night in the Woods so relatable. And I've had so much trouble writing this review because I felt like I'm like writing a journal entry.
Sure.
Like I'm like writing about my own life. I'm writing about things that I've gone through because this game is it just does such a good job of just looking at human life.
Does it hit you in the feels?
It hits me in the felines.
There we go. We are good today.
Yeah, we are. And so my confession is that I haven't completed my review because I've just been playing the game. Like, I beat it.
Shame.
I restarted it and, like, started playing it again because it's so much fun. So hopefully I'll go home tonight, I'll finish it, and the link will be included with this podcast.
Well, he's not coming till Friday.
All right. Well, anyway.
You could try to force it out.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't pay me enough for this.
Greg High Rules.
Okay.
That just didn't make sense.
It does.
You should play Night in the Woods.
I know who Greg is.
There's a, you know, Maze Journal
thing? It's in the journal. Greg Rules, okay?
Oh, okay. I mean, I've seen a journal, but apparently not.
You just must have missed
that. Not with that level of scrutiny.
That page. I mean, that's like
it's,
the first
It's a full page illustration.
Well.
Okay. Anyways, what the heck is this game, Marcus?
So, Night in the Woods. Well, actually, I like when Valerie explains games.
This is true. You explained Horizon very well.
Yeah.
This is our new
segment. I should have had her explain Ghost Recon.
I can. That'll be the end. We can make this a zinger. A stinger. Okay. What's that called? A stinger.
A stinger. A bumper.
That would be assuming we had credits and outro music.
We have one of those two things.
We have one of those things. Okay. So.
Night in the Woods.
Night in the Woods. Imagine a world of flat colors, but gradients.
With flat colors.
And clean,
pleasing
shapes.
Flat colors and gradients. That doesn't make sense.
These flat colors and gradients, because there are both.
Yes.
Combined to form a town of anthropomorphic animals.
Anthropomorphic.
Your main character, May, is a cat. Meow. She's 20 years old.
Which is why you probably are.
Yeah, see, like, Night in the Woods gives their characters ages. Looking at you, Aloy.
Yep.
She's very torn up about this. Okay. So, your protagonist, May, she comes back to her kind of podunk town, Possum Springs. After, I don't know two why years. She's back. After 2 years of college. Yeah. I don't know why she's back yet. Maybe you boys do.
You find out.
Okay. I don't know why she's back. So, she's like bopping around her hometown, saying hi to all her other animal friends and acquaintances that she hasn't seen in a long time. She's awkwardly reconnecting with, like, friends and semi-friends the way you do when you visit a hometown.
You should write my review, because this is perfect.
This is perfect. In a world with flat colors and gradients.
And, let's see. What's funny is that the dialogue that springs forth from these cartoon animals' mouths is that of, like...
babes.
Like, I don't know, like HBO's Girls? Like, it's not like that level of casualness or like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a kind of hyper colloquial, like very, very.
It's like
quotidian.
Life is Strange, mm-hmm. but like more on the nose mm-hmm. about it. It's like this is what not the cool kids say, mm-hmm. but the step below cool kids, that's what they...
just like normal people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very naturalistic.
Yeah. No, nothing's, like, it's super self-aware.
Easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. And you hang around with your friends, and then I'm not sure if this is the inciting event or not, but...
it is.
Something that happens is that you find an arm outside of the diner.
What?
A dismembered arm.
Dismembered. So you know what's really funny?
What?
Okay, sidebar. So I've been listening to, via audiobooks into my ears, the crime series that J.K. Rowling wrote under the pseudonym Robert Galbraith.
Oh, I didn't even know she did that.
She did that, and they're really good.
Oh, very good.
So what's funny is I just listened to the third book in the series, and one of the characters, whose name is Robin, she's a 20-something who dropped out of college.
Oh.
And now she works for the main detective guy. And then the inciting event in the third book, Courier of Evil, is when they receive a severed leg in the mail.
Oh.
From a mystery person.
Interesting.
So it's just like, ah.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
Anyways, they find, May and her compatriots find a severed arm on the ground.
And then
Cue mystery.
The rest of the game
mm-hmm.
ensues.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you've played up to that point. What are your impressions so far?
Me or Valerie?
Both of you. I assume you played together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all but my last playthrough I played on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But you were still in the back, kind of picking things up.
Probably playing with the cat.
That's all I do now.
Yeah,
pretty much. So my first impressions are really good. That's a really great way of game good. but no, I've been really impressed. Thank you.
Good enough for IGN.
Thank you. I'm here.
There's your review, Marcus.
Game
Two
good.
Words.
Game good.
Game good. Four paws. No, I've been really impressed by it. You know, like Valerie said, the art style is very striking. I can't tell if it's actually 2D art or if it's 3D art just on the way that the characters animate makes me think it might be 3D art.
It's 2D.
It is 2D.
Yeah. I mean, so in Unity, nothing's actually 2D.
That's okay. It's a Unity game.
Yeah.
There you go. That explains.
So it's like layered.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's like the animation is, it's good, but it's not intricate.
Yeah.
Like this game has very much a style, and it's very good at that style. And that style kind of permeates through the art and the writing and even the gameplay. It all feels very intentional,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense because this game was made over 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
By a small team, it was Kickstarted.
Yeah, Kickstarted.
And so it all feels very thought out. It feels like everything you look at, you can tell like someone spent time with this thing.
Yeah.
The dialogue is very well written and feels natural, like we talked about.
And hilarious.
And hilarious. The options that you're given are really good.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, there's not like positive, negative. It's not good or bad. A lot of the times, it's just, here's some options of things you can just say. And
sometimes it's subtle, like, at the beginning of the day, or the beginning of the game, when she's talking to her dad, and her dad had disappointed her, And like he's apologizing. Your two options are, it's okay, and it's okay, ... I guess, you know. Yeah. And it's like super subtle, but like
you know exactly what that subtext is.
Yeah,
because that's how we talk. That's how we text.
Yeah,
like the subtext and those dialogue boxes are the subtext we try to input into our text messages that we hope someone's gonna get and is never actually like received.
Yeah.
No, all the characters are really interestingly written. They all feel unique. I super love her mom. Her mom is great.
Her mom is so
her
great.
Mom is so good. Mm-hmm. And I also like how...
Okay, no. Let's hold on
that. Pause on mom?
Yeah.
Pause. Like,
why is she so great?
She is so great because she rides that line between being your guardian and being, I mean, I guess your friend.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of parents portrayed in games, you know, Life is Strange, for instance, Chloe's parents, for just as one example, Chloe's mom is very much like the, I'm your buddy character.
Mm-hmm.
And then her stepdad is very much the, I'm the authority figure. You will obey me. And a lot of times games that use parent figures, it's all very much kind of like that. Even in Horizon,
Rost,
her father figure, he's just this weird, like, generic parent archetype.
Yeah.
May's mom, I haven't spent too much time with her dad. Her dad might be cool too, but her mom in particular.
Dad's dope as well.
You know, you can tell that she has experience, that she has wisdom, that she has opinions about the things that May is doing, and, you know, approve and disapprove, approves and disapproves of some of the things that you do as May, but she's not trying to coddle May.
Yeah.
But she's also, she seems to understand that May is an adult now. And so, like, okay, this is your life, like, we're here for you, but, you know, You do you. We I love you. Your dad. We, you know, we're here. This is our home. This is your home.
Yeah.
But go live your life and go do your thing.
So, I mean, did that resonate with you? Because, I mean, your experience was kind of similar, albeit, like, May left college early.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you graduated, then you moved back in for...
I did. I moved back home for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I would say, yeah, there was a brief period of time, and I don't know if it was things I was doing, my parents were doing, it's probably a mixture of both, where I felt like I had suddenly reverted back to high school.
Yeah.
Not that they're, you know, to say, like, oh, be home by this time or whatever. Like, they didn't really do that when I was in high school anyways.
Yeah.
But there was that weird point where I've definitely felt like I was more of a child, I guess, like a child, adult parent thing, but then that quickly evaporated, and then it was just like, yeah, like, they cared about me, I could come home. Like, I didn't ask to come home when I came home. I just told my mom, like, hey, like, after, you know, this thing, like, I think I'm just gonna come home, I need a break.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, cool, your bed will be waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how May was too.
Yeah,
just like,
and so like that part, I was like, yes, like, I know exactly what this feels like, and the way it's portrayed on screen, like, I mean, I was telling you about what as was happening, it's like, this is exactly my experience. This is exactly how I felt. And thankfully, I guess, my parents reminded me of May, sort of the other way around.
Yeah. And like, what's cool is it feels so real. It feels so natural because, like, May comes home and, like, there's no fanfare. You know, there's, like, it's... There's like, no cake saying, oh, welcome home, we've missed you. It was actually... Yeah.
Devin had a cake.
He had a cake. He had
his
a
sister
cake.
Made him a cake.
I did. I had a cake.
But, I mean, I know when, you know, like when I visited, when I went home, like my parents are just like, oh, hey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know that they miss you, but it's just weird that excitement is kind of...
Yeah.
It's just, like, you're, like, re-entering their lives because you're so comfortable. It's like you kind of never left.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they don't miss you, but it's But it's. I guess my point is that like this game just like feels how it should. It's that anticipation of like wanting to go home, mm-hmm. and then like having all these ideas of like what it's gonna be like. Like, you know, is there gonna be mm-hmm. drama? Mm-hmm. Is there gonna be like big hugs? Is there gonna be all of these things? And then you walk through that door, and the reality is that it's just nothing. It's just normal. You just return home and just proceed with life.
Well, and through the game that the part of the game that me and Valerie have played so far, like that seems to be like a repeating theme.
Yeah.
Because you're hearing all of May's, you know, inner dialogue, and she's like wondering and thinking, what's this going to be like? How's this going to work out? And then you get to this thing, and it's like, oh, right, it's just normal. It's just like life.
Yeah.
And that is exactly how life goes. You know, there'll be things where you're sitting for days, you know, thinking and planning and imagining all these different scenarios and how things are going to happen. Then the thing that just happens, you're like, oh wait, it was just that. Like it's already, and like that's it. Like, you know, the you coming home to you know meeting back up with your friends to you, hey, like getting back in the groove and going to like the old spots you go to in mm-hmm. the game. And then you go to a party and like just like all those things, like there's all the build up and all of May's expectations, and then you experience the reality of it.
Yeah.
And it just feels so easy.
Yeah.
And natural. Which is a weird thing to say when talking about video game narratives. They are very rarely easy and natural.
And talking about animals.
And animals. They're all animals.
The most relatable game that I've probably ever played ever is like filled with just talking animals. But like the way that they do it, the way that they interact, the way that they handle conflict. I think Devin brought up a great point of just like the way that we text is like the way that they talk. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in this like weird shorthand, but like we've adapted to be able to like read that fluently.
Oh, you put a period at the end of that sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. And like what that means versus if you don't. And, this game handles the dialogue so well and builds on these characters so well.
And to be clear, none of it's spoken. It's all written.
Yeah.
It's all written dialogue.
There's no voice acting at all. Mm-hmm. It's just text. I like this is, you know, an adventure platformer game, you might say. But the way I've treated it is as a visual novel.
Yeah.
You're just playing through this like storybook, and some parts are like mm-hmm. choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I come at it from that perspective, not as a game, but as an interactive story. And there's so much to read. There are so many literary devices that have the added advantage of being visual too. And this game does such a good job of just well done storytelling.
And I like the way that this game is, you know, like you just said, aware of narrative tropes and using literary frameworks and literary techniques, but it also uses game mechanics that way as well.
Yeah.
So when I realized that you could talk to characters multiple times and get new dialogue.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm gonna talk to every character as much as I can, but then it uses that knowledge in some really interesting ways sometimes to kind of build sort of suspense and like to draw things out. I'm thinking of the party in particular. When you can interact with certain characters is gated by certain interactions you have to do ahead of time, but it all feels like you're led very naturally mm-hmm. to, you know, take part in those moments or in those actions, because, you know, I've played games before. I know how to hit square, but then like the game sort of tricks you into like playing by its pacing.
Yeah. Valerie, what was, what are moments that that made you, I guess, remember something?
Let's see. There's a moment when she goes upstairs and then they have like a pet bird in the cage and she's like, oh, he's still alive.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, Devin's had this experience. I have this experience of the ancient pet mm-hmm. that you go home to that's like still hanging on by threads versus the pets that, you know, there's some pets like I went home and at that point they died. But yeah, I was like, that's pretty funny. Let's see. Something that I was pondering, as you guys were talking about how it's so relatable, is that maybe because the characters are animals and then they're so simple, is that it's easier to foister our experiences and our perspective onto them, in contrast with like when we were talking about how like some of the faces, the baby faces, you know, in Horizon, are like sometimes when faces try to go hyper realistic, it gets dicey. Like just having less put there already gives you more opportunity to put more of your experience onto it in a way.
To that same degree, you're also taking out so many factors of like of like, you know, gender, race, whatever. It's like these are just animals. And like, so it's easier to identify with them based on their character versus what they look like.
And probably kind of remove some of the socio-political factors that might dictate relationships and just focuses more on the social interaction factors. Yeah,
exactly. Just
like person to person. Ideally, and I guess maybe it models how people could relate to each other if there wasn't all that. You know? I don't know. I went down a weird hole, guys. I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
We do.
I don't want to bury myself in my own grave. Yeah. Who's your favorite character so far?
I mean,
he knows all the characters.
I've beaten it.
You know all it.
So, I will say, I love the character May, and a major reason why is because she reminds me
of one of my
real life friends, and like her life, the way that she speaks, the way that she interacts with others, the like how she loves other people, like how forgiving she is. How playful she is, how like sometimes she's dying on the inside, but on the outside she plays it so cool. Just like all of these things, is my friend exactly, and like so, I'm playing this game and I feel like I'm getting to know my friend better. I feel like I'm learning more about her, learning more about what goes on in her mind. Because I know her just through a experience and like what she tells me that she goes through. But like getting into the mind of May, like helps me understand like what it's like to have anxiety, what it's like to maybe live with like these certain things, and to have these certain fears, to have these certain hopes, to have these certain dreams, to have the kind of family life. Which I think in many ways is similar, especially with my friend and her mom, who's really religious and really protective. Like, and so I really loved May's character, and I think she's my favorite because, besides reminding me of my friend, she also like, I see a lot of myself in her too. Just her willingness to be human and to be her willingness to have humanity, to show that, to be vulnerable, to not have it all figured out. And struggling through things, like not knowing the answers, but like still pressing forward and trying to like figure it out, even though it's uncomfortable. Like a lot of the things that like I go through mentally, I can like see her wrestling with, and it's cool to have a character like deal with these real world issues in such a unique way. And it's made me do a lot of reflecting on my own life. and there's Devin's stomach to kind of
tie that all together. That definitely came up on the mic too.
Good.
I could hear it. So that's our guest for this week. So Valerie, we have played through Gone Home together. Mm-hmm. We still haven't gone all the way through Life is Strange. We played through Life is Strange, and we started A Night in the Woods. And these are all games that are, you know, very different in some ways, but also mm-hmm. very similar in, I think, many. Mm-hmm. For you, being our non-gamer gamer, you know, do you, I mean, I think you do because you keep willingly, you know, watch me play these things. You know, what are your thoughts about video games, if nothing else, as a way of delivering narratives like this?
I mean, I like it. I like it because I like reading/watching stories. Mm-hmm. And so if it's a good story that requires not, like, I mean, like, shoot people, then, like, I like that. Like, it's also because it's more, like, even Overwatch, our beloved Overwatch, like, when Devin's actually playing, like, the shooty parts of Overwatch, it's like sensory overload.
Yeah.
So whereas, like, this is like, it's like paging through a graphic novel in terms of, like, you know, what the experience is like.
Do you think these stories could be told in other formats and be as successful as they are?
What do you mean other formats?
Like, do you think Gone Home could have been a movie, or could have been a book, or could have been a TV show? Do you think Night in the Woods could have been a graphic novel?
Absolutely. It just depends on how much you consider changing it to accommodate the medium and having it still be the same.
Would you prefer that?
I don't know.
That's what I'm asking.
I can't tell if I would prefer something that doesn't exist over something that does.
You have imagination.
Let's see.
Like, do you think video games offer something unique to stories like this, or do you think could be done some other way?
Because I said that I like this, but I also liked the Career of Evil novel that I read. It also had, like I said, kind of similar themes, although very different, with the severed arm and the character who returns from college early. Whereas this one, like, it depends on what you're looking for. Do you want, like, cool graphics? This game's got cool graphics. Mm-hmm. Do you want, like, an in-depth crime novel of 300 plus pages? Go to the other thing. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to have agency in the story? This game gives you options to have agency over what your character says, or, like, I guess minor decisions or major decisions. I don't know.
Some major decisions.
Do you like watching things? Do you like having, like, the imagery, like, kind of set out for you for your imagination to then fill in the blanks? Or do you like to come up with it entirely on your own via, like, reading a book or listening to a book? I mean, like, there's so many options for how you want to receive a story that I think this is, it's another cool means. I mean, I like it.
I know for me, as I played through it, I thought, like, I would love for this to be a movie, but as I was trying to, like, think, like, would this take that same art style and just replicate that in movie form with, like, voice acting, or would that be, like, what they did with the Charlie Brown film, and, like, it was, like, 3D, but it was still heavily influenced by the 2D comics, you know, I don't know how I'd want this to look, but, I think this story is just so rich in just the world that they built. The game form is perhaps the way that it can be best represented, but I feel like a film could also do something special too, and just do things that like the game can't do. Because there are some real emotional parts in Night in the Woods, but like, if Greg is saying, like, if if like Greg the Wolf is mm-hmm. like crying, well, his like actual character drawing
mm-hmm.
always has that smile.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he's saying something really dramatic,
mm-hmm.
really emotional, he's still smiling, which mm-hmm. like takes you out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I mean, I think there are some trade-offs, but overall, like, man, it's a great game, and it'll make you think, and more than anything, it'll make you feel understood in some really weird and welcoming way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like that games like this can exist alongside games like Horizon that are very reflex intensive and require you to know mm-hmm. things about video games. This is more of a story than anything else, and I think it's a good way
mm-hmm.
of communicating to people who don't play games, you know, much like me and Marcus communicating to someone, much like you, Valerie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that these are like that video games aren't just about, you know, rooty tooty aim and shooty.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are all these other aspects of games that we like and we love. And they're not always done to the same extent, obviously. Like not every shooty game is gonna have a great story. A lot of them don't. But there are games that do have really great stories. You know, like Zelda, for instance, is a game that I think Marcus at least would agree very strongly has both elements. Very much a video game, very much a well-told, well-worth-your-time story. And I think a lot of people who don't play games and aren't familiar with what modern games are maybe don't realize that points, lives, and levels aren't really a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And there are a lot more that this thing can do as a medium. And I think games like this that are about a specific aspect of a video game that is not reflexes and button inputs is a good ambassador of sorts.
Yeah.
To saying, this is what games are capable of in addition to whatever you're thinking in your mind. Like, there is more to this.
Yeah. On that point, like, Valerie, you could play this game. Like, I played it,
mm-hmm.
I was just testing it out because I played it a lot while I was laying in bed, and mm-hmm. I didn't feel like just, like, sitting up and, like,
yeah.
And, like, so I was just, like, laying down lazily mm-hmm. and playing it with only my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
I was still able to, like, get through everything.
Yeah,
so,
I intend to.
Like, you could legitimately play mm-hmm. through the his game, treat it like a, you know, storybook. One of the biggest lessons that this game teaches you
mm-hmm.
is that, like, being an adult and just in general, like, your relationships don't just happen. They have to be pruned. They're, mm-hmm. They have to be intentional. There's so much of that game that you can miss. Just, like, mm-hmm. so many beautiful human moments.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's gazing at the stars
mm-hmm.
with your old high school teacher
mm-hmm.
or watching the sunset with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's dozens of these just, like, wonderful moments of, like, you connecting with someone else. And that only happens if, like, you put in time into those relationships. And so one thing, like, I'm learning just in my own life is, like, I can't be everyone's friend. And so I'm, like, choosing, like, who I invest in. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you two are, like, people that I've made a commitment to, like almost more than anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, I would put you two first before a lot of my other friendships, and that's something that I've made a commitment to. And I think this game shows you that, like, you're, like, what you put in is, like, what you mm-hmm. get out, and I think that's such an important lesson to learn. I want to play this game again.
I want to finish it. And luckily, I don't have a Nintendo Switch to play this weekend.
Oh, but I will. I certainly will.
Well, it's that time where we wrap things up, but we're going to read, as we have been in the habit of doing, a review for our show. It's been our goal this year to have a new review every week. And this review is a little different, but actually it might be my favorite review yet that we've received.
Yeah.
Every week we ask you guys for an honest review of our show. We want you to listen to it.
Oh, no.
And see what you get. No. It's okay. Good. Don't worry. Okay. It's good. So I'm going to read you our first 3-star review from an anonymous listener. So, Squiggly Line writes, it's not you, it's me. I'm personally not a gamer, so a lot of the content Trust Circle produces just doesn't pique my interest. I know they have a great vision to bridge the gap between gamers and non-gamers, and I listened as a non-gamer to see how they do this. Though not everything discussed is about gaming, I still feel the podcast was a little rambly and ran too long. It would be interesting to hear if it was edited to be more fluid. I can tell the hosts get along great, and they have vibrant personalities. However, this podcast simply isn't for me. First of all, Squiggly Squiggly Anonymous Squiggly Squiggly, thank you for your review. I'm not joking. I think it may be my favorite review that we've received so far, because it means you took the time to listen to us.
Yeah.
You took the time to listen to us to realize that we are rambly and that we ran long. Depending on which one you listen to, we may have run very long. But the fact that you listened and then went out of your way, took time out of your life, in addition to listening to our podcast that simply isn't for you, to write and tell us what you thought about it, is really important. And I think, you know, obviously we would like those 5 stars. Obviously we hope that everyone loves the things we do. But the way that we get to that point is by getting honest feedback, like Squiggly Anonymous's. And, you know, there's no point in even trying to make excuses. Like, these are all things we are aware of and are working on. But, you know, it's real. You're feeling it. And I guess the only thing I would say is my hope is that one day we can come back and bring you back and you'll be impressed with what we have. So thank you very, very much if you're listening to this, which you probably aren't, I guess. But if you do, Squiggly, thank you very much.
Best wishes to you and your mother.
And your cat.
I hope you have a cat.
I could care less if you have a cat or not.
We care enough for all three of us.
Anyway, this has been another episode of Trust Circle. We post every Wednesday at 6 a.m., except for last week, when Devin and I, neither of us edited the podcast, but we thought the other one did, and so we didn't get it till a day later.
It was great.
But it's up there now, and it's our best show, actually. So now you can listen to it. Episode 25. So follow us on Twitter at Trust Circle Cast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast services. And join us in our mission to get one brand new written iTunes review every week in 2017. Just like Squiggly Squiggly Anonymous Squiggly Squiggly.
Do you want to be on a podcast? Write a review and then we'll say your words on a podcast.
You'll be famous and forever.
And it's like you're on a podcast.
Basically. And that's all. You should all play Night in the Woods. Nintendo Switch comes out this week.
Horizon's already out. For Honor is out. You should play Horizon. Overwatch got an update today. Ghost Recon, whatever.
Video games are back, people.
Mass Effect's coming out. Video games are here. They're coming. It's cool.
This is not a drill. Get out there. Get playing.